Amen. Well, folks, bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. It's so appropriate what Racina shared with us in line with the theme that we started last week and continue with this week. If you missed out, I want to encourage you to get the recordings of it. We're speaking about prayer, fasting, and hearing God's voice. And just to recap what we touched on last week, we started with that scripture, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, which is, "Call to me, and I will answer you." What a precious promise from God. No matter your situation, call to me and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Sometimes we get ourselves in situations, and there's situations which we face in life. Mense ons kan nie anders dan nie as om te bid. And oftentimes we face with situations where people are in desperate situations. We say, "Ach, you know what? The least we can do is pray." It's not the least you can do. It's the most that you can do. The most that you can do, because we serve an awesome and a mighty, mighty God. We looked at seven aspects last week that are important to facilitate effective, powerful prayer in our lives. Amongst other things, we looked at the fact that you need faith. This is just a recap from last week. You need faith and believe that God is who He says He is. You need holiness and righteousness to be in a place of right standing with God. We need to seek God more than we want His answers. To seek the God that gives the answers instead of just the answers from God. We said that prayer is more a case of being with someone than it is a question of doing something. That enables us then to get to point number 5, which says, never stop praying. Don't give up. Don't give up in your prayers. God answers prayers in ways sometimes that we don't recognize. And then point number 6, to be sincere and unselfish in your prayers. You can pray for yourself, but not only for yourself, and make sure that we examine our motives before God. And then point number 7, we ended off by speaking about make room in your life for God. Make space for God. That doesn't mean that God can only speak in a certain time and a certain place, but arrange the circumstances in your life so that you are able to hear from God. And some of the things that make it difficult for us to hear God is having our lives so busy and our heads so filled with other things that ons kan nie hoor by God nie, because ons is so besig met ander goed dat ons nie van God kan hoor nie. So this week, I don't think you can ever do a series on prayer or teaching on prayer without doing exactly what Jesus says. Jesus in the scripture said, when you pray, pray like this. And this morning, ons gaan kyk na die Onse Vader, our Father. And there's principles in there. We're going to look at, there's 23 points that you can take out of that passage of scripture that Jesus teaches us. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to break it down. And I trust that you're going to enjoy your journey through this passage of scripture this morning. There's horrible feedback up here, where else that isn't there, or usually there, and it's very difficult to concentrate. There we go. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. There we go. It's a lot better up here. I don't know what it sounds like for you folks there. There we go. That feedback is gone. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 5. My Bible is marked the model prayer. It's an example and a pattern and a system of prayer for us. It doesn't mean that when you pray just like this and say only this. One of the worst things you can do in Christian doctrine is to take a truth and make it the truth. Where you take a principle and make it the principle. Because dan gaan die balans dan heeltemal by die venster uit. Is dit nie so nie? So, dit beteken nie dat jy altyd so moet bid nie, en as jy nie so bid nie, gaan jou gebede nie geantwoord word nie. That's not what Jesus is saying here. We're going to see the principles of the significance of each and every single word that he uses in this model prayer. So without further ado, we're reading from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. I'm reading from the New King James Translation, and we're going to read up to and including verse 15. Are you ready? Okay. Jesus says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward." So guess what? There's even a reward for praying hypocritically. Wow. Talk about having a gracious God, isn't it? I would have just like said, no, steer me on your own. But this is God. And verse 6, he says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The secret power of prayer is praying in secret. That enables us to be able to pray all the time. And verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. So already there's a whole lot of teaching just from verse 5 to 8, but we're not going to concentrate on that this week. This week we're going to look at this part here. From verse 9 it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We thank you for this word this morning, Lord God. We trust and believe that by your Spirit, you will minister to our lives and it will change us and transform us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to look at 23 elements of the Lord's Prayer this morning by starting off by saying, when Jesus teaches us to say, our Father who art in heaven. Our Father. First of all, look at the hour. An hour. It's our Father. We are part of a family. You're not an individual alone. God has given us the Holy Spirit by whom we can cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit enables us to say, our Father. When you get born again, your spirit gets transformed and become part of the family of God by a spiritual rebirth. What makes you part of the family of God? What makes a person a child of God? The fact that they're born as a human being? No. No. How does Jesus identify and separate people that are whose father is the devil from those that are his? He just says, look at your works. You do the works of your father, the devil. That's how you distinguish a child of God from a child of the devil. You do the works of your father, the devil, he says in John 8 when he's teaching. And then these are the works of the people that are God's children. You have the Holy Spirit that enables you to do that. So when it's our, it's not just my father. Yes, he's a personal God, but you're a part of a family. Our Father. He says our Father, not our judge, not our judge, our high priest, or whatever. He says our Father, the principle of the Father, that God is into families. He's a nurturer, a carer, a caregiver, the lover of your soul. He's our Father, the principle of the Father. Jesus once illustrated from the beginning, when you start off your prayer, is our Father, the Father, in whom there's no variation or shadow of turning, a God who doesn't change. So that's where we see the first principle is relationship. You can write these points down or make sure that you get into a cell. Your cell leader will have these notes. The first illustration or principle there is one of relationship. You can write down relationship. He's our Father. And ours makes us understand that we're part of a family. And we recognize this. Our Father who is in heaven. Recognizing, recognition, giving recognition. That's the second point. The first one is relationship. The second one is recognition. Recognizing that He's in heaven. God is actually above everything. The scripture says in Isaiah that His ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways above our ways. God actually is over everything. Ten spyte van wat ons dink, God actually knows what He's doing. God actually knows what He's doing. And contrary to what we believe and we as people strive to achieve, mense, weet jy waaroor ons beheer het? There's only one thing that we have control over. That's your will. You have control over nothing else that happens around you. Nothing. We are in control of nothing. The sooner we come to understand that our Father who is in heaven. He's above. He's above. He's greater than everything. Recognizing that this is this God that we pray to. He's our Father who is in heaven. He's not our Father who is in the gravel. So often say people say, iemand daarboer, die groot baas. He's not a boss. And daar iemand daarboer is Abba Father. He's Daddy God. He's Daddy God. recognizing He's in heaven. He's above all. He's mightier than all. All things consist in Him. Nothing that was not made unless it was made through Jesus by the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing things into being, recognizing that He's in heaven. And it says, hallowed be Thy name. Holy and mighty and awesome is Your name. God's name is so great, the traditional Jews wouldn't even say it completely. They felt that God's name was too holy to say it in its entirety. They wouldn't write it in its entirety. They'd write it in an abbreviated form, abbreviated form. So holy is His name. Saying, God, it's Your name. Your name, Lord God, is mighty. Your name is awesome. Your name means salvation, power, deliverance for those who trust in Your name. Your name means healing. Your name means breakthrough. Your name is, I can identify with the name of God. I can carry the name of God. How do we carry the name of God? Christian. Christian. It reminds me of a t-shirt that Elias made a long time ago. I'm Christian to live like Him. Am I getting it right, Elias? It said something like that? To live like Him. Yeah. Christian to live like Him. I'm not Christian to identify me or my te kan onderskei van ander gelowe in die wêreld. We're not just Christian to be, okay, we're Christian because we don't serve an elephant that drinks milk or a lady that's got eight arms or whatever. That's not why you're Christian. You're Christian to live like Him, recognizing the name. The name that is above all names. The name of Jesus Christ. Hallowed be Your name. So the third point there is adoration. We come to a place where you adore. And you say, Lord, Your name is hallowed. What does Your name mean to me? When I say God Almighty, Jesus, Heaven's Christ. And Christ means, how many of you know Jesus is not His first name and Christ is not His surname? Hello. It's not Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one. That's what it means. So we bring adoration to His name there. The fourth point in the prayer of Jesus is having a sense of anticipation. We're expecting the promises of God to come to pass. The things that He says are going to happen. Lord, when I come to You, Lord, I'm expecting that something's going to happen. I'm believing You, Lord, for some form of breakthrough and to see a change somehow from the heavenlies to manifest in the natural, in my life, in my world, in my circumstances, in my difficulties. I'm expecting things to happen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your kingdom come, Lord. What is God's kingdom? It's not just, people, it's not heaven. It's not heaven. Remember we said that the kingdom of God is a system of principles and values. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God to manifest here on earth. Our Christianity and our focus should be establishing the kingdom of God in people's hearts. The next point, point number four, is anticipation. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, Lord. It's Your kingdom come, Lord. Your kingdom. Not my kingdom. Not the ANC's kingdom. Not whoever's kingdom. Not the worldly kingdom. Not that system. Not those rules. Not those principles. The kingdom that teaches that to be great, you must be humble and serve. The kingdom that teaches if you want something, you need to give. The kingdom that teaches that if you want to live, you must die to self first. It's an upside-down kingdom compared to the systems and the principles of the world. That's what Jesus meant when He said, Your kingdom come. Let that system of rulership, that principle of governance be manifest in our lives. Let Your kingdom come and have an anticipation in our hearts for that. The fifth principle is consecration. Consecration simply means to declare something as sacred. Set it apart for the things of God. You say, Lord, I consecrate this. I say, Lord, I set it apart for Your will to be done. Say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. I'm praying, Lord, not because I want things my way. Ek wil nie 'n Frank Sinatra op myself trek nie. Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. Ek gee nie om wat rondom my gebeur nie. Ek gee nie om wat wie ook al vir my sê nie. I'm going to do it my way. And the scary thing is that we can have it that way. In our home cell, when we started speaking about this topic of prayer, we had this challenge put to ourselves. If you could change one thing in the world, what would it be and why would you change it? And somebody said, I think it was it Jaku? Oh, it doesn't matter. Somebody said, if I could just change the fact that I've got a free will. And it sounds, and imagine if you kon nie anders dan nie as om gehoorsaam te gewees het teenoor God and to love him. That would be okay, but if you didn't have a free will, you wouldn't even be able to make that choice of having a free will. God gave us that free will. But when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're saying, Lord, I've got my will, but I want your will to be done in my life. These are principles that Jesus teached. Jesus teached it to us, eh? He did teach it to us. He taught must be principles that are in our prayers in general. When I pray, I must say, Lord, Here, hierdie is dan die begeertes van my hart. Ek wil graag dit hê, ek wil graag die hê. Ek wil so dat hê dat dinge so gebeur, maar nog steeds dat U wil geskied word. God can work in somebody like that because we think we know, but God actually knows. Mense, we haven't got a cure for the common cold. We haven't got an answer for poverty. Jesus says in this life, poverty is always going to be with us. Imagine that. There's enough money in this world so that almost 7 billion people on the planet, that's 7 million. Now, what's it? What's a billion? Is it 1,000? 1,000 million is a billion. That's 7,000 million people. There's enough money in the world so that everybody can live lekker comfortably, but we can't fix poverty. And then we think that we've got it all together. Ons kan nie mense nie. We don't have an answer for world peace. We don't have an answer for poverty. We don't have an answer for the common cold, man. We can send a camera into space that can take pictures of other planets. Maar ons kan nie met mekaar oor die weg kom nie. Hoe werk dit dan? And then we think we know it all. I've got to be able to say, Lord, let your will be done. It's a principle that must be there in prayer. It is surrender to God in humility and saying, Lord, your will be done. So the fifth thing is consecration. Setting something apart as sacred, saying, Lord, your will be done. The sixth point is, where do I want your will to be done? Let your will be done on earth. Everywhere, Lord. Not just let your will be done in the Ukurleni municipality so they can fix the potholes and not we don't have to have load shedding. No, Lord. God is bigger than that and He's greater than that. Your will can be done in more than just places, in more places than just Mvuleni and Erkuleni and all other lenis and M's that there are. Let your will be done on earth, Lord. Let it be present in our school and education systems, that they can teach our children the fear of God and how to honor parents. If you do that, children will thrive in life by honoring those great, those simple principles. The scripture says it will give them long life. The first commandment in scripture that has a promise. Honor your parents and then you'll have long life. If you want to live long, honor your parents. Die kinders word nie dit geleer in die skool nie. There's been cases in America where children have brought lawsuits to make their parents no longer their parents anymore. To somehow divorce themselves from their parents. Hoe werk dit dan, mense? If they're ungodly parents, I can understand. But if your parents want to tuchtig you and discipline you, you can somehow sue them and divorce them. Say, nee, ek soek nie meer hierdie ouers nie. What has happened to this planet, man? Huh? So we pray, Lord, that your will be done in our education systems, in the welfare systems, in society. Don't reward people for doing nothing, but help those who honestly can't help themselves. Let God in His principles of government and the kingdom of God come in every aspect of society, in the arts and culture, in social circles, everywhere, the infrastructure, in government, everywhere, Lord, let your will be done on earth. So when we pray, our prayers must be for the kingdom of God to be manifest everywhere. Everywhere. That's what Jesus is teaching when He teaches us to pray like this. Say, Lord, let your will be done on earth. And the sixth principle there is universality. I'm not even sure I'm saying it, Pras, but having let God's will be universal. Let it, dit moet oralste wees. En nie net wanneer dit my pas nie. When people, hulle doen ons kwaad, wat sê ons? Lord, get them! Maar wanneer ons sondig, wat sê ons? Here, wees genadig teenoor my. Maar dan het ons dan net gebid, Lord, get them. If He's not getting them, He's not going to get you. Sometimes, mercy and grace has been described as like this. When we don't get what we do deserve. And when we do get what we don't deserve is sometimes used to describe the mercy and the grace of God. When I want His will to be done, it's either all of His will or none of His will. God doesn't enjoy being second, third, fourth best. He doesn't want to be anybody's scallopy. Mense praat van hierdie is die trouvrou en dan 'n houvrou en dan 'n jolvrou of whatever. Jy het verskillende vroumense vir verskillende aktiwiteite afhangende van waar jy is. God doesn't want to be prostituted. He doesn't want you to prostitute Him, to mess Him around with what's the word I'm looking for, man? I'm thinking in Afrikaans, but trying to speak in English. Here, help my man. He doesn't want you to be your emotions opgedeel and your passions and focus on other things other than Him. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray, like I said, Thou will be done on earth. It means every area of my life and those around me, Lord. Point number 7 is conformity. It means humbly submitting to God's will. What kind of will, Lord? The way it is in heaven. The way it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Conformity. Conforming to the principles of heaven. When Jesus taught, He didn't teach anything other than through parables. What made people... Everybody listened to Jesus. They didn't... Not everybody liked what He had to say. But everybody listened because He was such a good teacher. He'd teach and illustrate in such an incredible way. And he'd say, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. En hy, basis in my woord, het hy gesê, kom ek vertel julle iets gou-gou bietjie hierso. Let me just tell you a story. Remember Spies en Plessie? Daai ou kan hulle 'n story vertel, nee. Hy vertel jou a simple thing, soos 'n ou klim in sy kar en hy gaan winkel toe. But he made it sound so fascinating. Ja, hy het in sy kar geklim en hy het winkel toe gery. Wow! Because of the way he did it. Jesus did it like that. And he's saying, I'm listening to the will of God, the way it is in heaven. The principles of Jesus taught through these parables about the kingdom of heaven. So point number 7 is conformity. Are you learning something from this church? Is it meaning something to you? I hope it is. I pray it is. And then it starts asking. You'll see out of these 23 principles, the first three petitions in the prayer have points concerning God, and the last four petitions have 16 points concerning us as people. Okay. So we've looked at point number 7, conformity. Point number 8 is supplication, is actually asking. So in prayer you can ask. He says, give us. Give us, Lord. Already there, there's no selfishness there. It's not, give me, Lord. And it's okay to pray, give me, Lord. One of the most seemingly selfish prayers in the scripture of Jabez has been answered. He says, bless me indeed. We see that in Chronicles. Bless me indeed, Lord. Increase the areas and the boundaries of my borders and the areas of my influence. And God answered his prayer. And you see in that passage of scripture why God answered Jabez's prayer. But it says here, give us. So you can ask. It's okay to ask. And Jesus teaches, He actually teaches us to ask. He says, when you pray, pray like this. Give us. He says, pray and ask. Give. We asked this question in the cell. How many of you believe? Jy glo, jy's heeltemal oortuig. Jy's, in fact, you've gone past believing to the point where you know, God knows everything. Do you believe that this morning? Some of you are not sure. That's fine. God will get you. Get them, Lord. If God knows everything, why must I go to God and ask? Het jy daar gewonder? He already said in the preceding verse, he says, God already knows these things that you must ask for. Why must I go to God? Come on, don't play games with me. God, you're bigger and mightier than me anyway. You know what I need. Why must I ask you the things that you know I need? Have you ever wondered that? Why does God want us to ask the things that He knows we need? Think about that. Several things. It keeps you dependent upon God, first of all. It keeps you dependent upon God and never lose sight of who your source is and who supplies all your needs. God cautioned the Israelites about this when they came out of Egypt. He said, Mensa, Julle kom van 'n land hierson nê waar julle gesukkel het. Julle was onder slavernij, is die regte woord. You were slaves. Dit was nag gewees. They beat you up, they persecuted you. You were the majority, but the minority kept you in oppression. Think about that. They outnumbered the Egyptians, but because of their hardnekkigheid, they were in submission to the minority people. You say, oh yeah, they're just a minority group, they can't cause anything. World War II will teach us a lesson from that. A minority of people with this Nazi concept caused so much death and destruction on the planet. But he warned them, he said, you're coming out of this land, but you're going to a land that gaan goed wees daar. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. Lest you forget, be careful that you forget that it is me who delivered you out of Egypt. Be careful that you forget that it is me who supplied. Unless you get to a place in your life where you say, look what I have done, look what I have achieved, this is what I have done, I have worked for this, I have done this. Yes, maybe you have worked for it, but it is God who enables you to generate wealth. It is God who gives you the ability to earn. It is God that keeps your heart beating so that you can breathe, so that you can go out and work. It is all God. So why must I ask God if He knows what I need anyway? It's a little bit weird. So I can keep dependent upon Him. That I can learn to ask and come to God. And then the thing that struck me most is that so that I can... God wants relationship. Because He wants you. He loves you. Did you know that nothing you do can impress God? And if you sondig, nothing you do can shock Him. It's not like, oh, Jesus, God... Did you see what he's just done? Hy weet al klaar, man. Hy weet al klaar wat jy nog gaan doen. He already knows the sins that you've not yet committed, that he's already forgiven you of. Oh, mensen. That I want to serve that God. He's already forgiven me of the sins that I've not yet committed. He's already forgiven me. The price is paid on the cross. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he meant it. It wasn't just the end of a movie. He meant it. It is finished. The work that he came to earth to complete, it is finished. So he teaches us to ask. I must ask, even though he knows, so that I can keep dependent upon God and I can have a relationship. He wants us to come to him and say, Dad, help. I need you, Lord. So that point number 8 is supplication. It's asking and saying, give us. Give us. Give us, Lord. And to pray. Then there's a definite time frame. There's a definiteness to that. I'm coming up with hectic words here. There's a, when, Lord, this day. Jesus speaks specifically about this day. In Matthew 6, he speaks about worrying. In later verses, he says, how many of you can add any cubit to your stature? How many of you can make yourself taller or bigger or better by worrying? He says, don't worry. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus wasn't some super spiritual, aloof person that was so heavenly minded that he was no earthly good. He realized that the tire meets, the rubber meets the road. Yeah, this is the real world. Yeah, dinge gebeur hierso. The pawpaw hits the fan in the lives of these people. He says, each day has enough worries and troubles of its own. He recognized that. I think it's so beautiful and it's so real of Jesus. It shows so much his humanity. So when he teaches us to pray, he says, Lord, give us this day. Give us this day. Lord, I need grace for today. I need mercy for today. I need wisdom for today to get through my challenges. Lord, yesterday I didn't have this issue. I come to the office this morning and the hele hell het losgebreek oornag. When I left the office yesterday, alles was sharp. I come back today, my kantoor is nie meer daar nie. Something happened. You see the point I'm trying to make? So, who knows what tomorrow holds? I don't know. It's not a guarantee. But Lord, give us mercy and grace for today. There's a definiteness to it, Lord. We need mercy and grace for today. Give us today. And then, point number 10 speaks of a necessity. Point number 10. I've been going for a half an hour now, isn't it? We're only at point number 10 and there's several to go. Speaks of, exactly 30 minutes, yeah. It says, our daily bread. They were given instructions to make bread on a daily basis. And also they didn't have, we say they don't have preservatives. They might, maybe they didn't have sodium benzoate or potassium sorbate or monosodium glutamate or all these other mates that kept their food lasting long. But they had salt. They could preserve stuff with salt. But there's only so much salt that you can put in bread before that prunie meer lekker nie, nee. Want het nie meer brood nie, dan is het soort van een souter zonder al die ander goeders daar. So they couldn't preserve it. It would just last a day. And when they were in the desert, God gave them manna and he said, take just enough for today. They had to learn to trust him just for, if they took more, it went fraught. Isn't that interesting? God said, listen, just take enough just for today. So, it speaks about daily needs. You can know, Lord, in this day, what is it for today? What is it for today? Be obedient and faithful with that which is in front of you for today. And ask God for your necessary needs for today. And then for all these things to come into place, there needs to be a principle of forgiveness and being restored to a place of righteousness and right standing, which we looked at last week. And then he goes on to say, the point number 11 is, our daily and forgive us. He says, and forgive us. And forgive us. So asking God for forgiveness, say, Lord, as far as I know, Lord, maybe there are things that you're aware of that you gesondig het en jy het lekker droog gemaak, jy het nonsense aangejaag. Come to God in repentance. Say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. I've sinned in thought, word, and deed, and sometimes I've sinned by not doing when I could have and I should have. Forgive me for that, Lord. And sometimes I have sinned by doing things that didn't please you. Forgive me for these things, Lord. So we see point number 11 is penitence. Asking God for forgiveness. Penitence. Forgive us. And it uses the words our debts. That doesn't mean what you owe whoever. It's speaking about the issue of sin. He says, Lord, forgive us our debts. Point number 12 is obligation. An obligation that there is towards having sin resolved in your life. Point number 12 is the obligation of having sin resolved in your life by God. There's an obligation that we have to come to God and say, Lord, forgive me of these things. And this is how do we forgive. Point number 13 is forgiveness. Point 12 was obligation. Point 13 is forgiveness. As we forgive. And in verse 14 and 15, we ended saying, if you forgive those who sin against you, God will forgive you of your sins. But if you do not forgive those who trespass against you. Sorry, I said if you forgive those who forgive you. No. If you forgive those who trespass against you. If you forgive those who do wrong against you. Then I'll forgive you. But if you do not forgive those. I won't forgive you. Wow. What a predicament. What a predicament. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you find it difficult to forgive people? I said don't raise your hand. But it's okay. I'll forgive you for that. What I meant is, you don't have to raise your hand. So that the spotlight's on you. If you find it difficult to forgive others, simply ask God to remind you of what He's forgiven you of. Ask God to remind you what He's forgiven you of. Think about that. I have this conversation with people and say, people say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I'm confident that I'm going to go to heaven. So really, yeah, okay. So okay. Have you ever told any form of a lie before? Like even if it's a small one. Yeah. I've told a little white lie. Oh, okay. And what do you call somebody that lies? A liar. Oh, okay. And tell me, have you ever taken anything that belongs to you, even if it's something small? You know, have you ever used the works photostat paper? For kerkse goeders. Yeah, I've taken something that doesn't belong to me. Oh, and what do you call somebody that steals and takes something? They're called a thief. Oh, okay. And tell me, if you're a man, have you ever looked at a woman lustfully and thought about, you've looked at her lustfully? Yeah, I mean, well, who hasn't? Hello? A man is nie a klip nie. A man is a man and a man moet eet. Hello? Okay, so you've looked at a woman lustfully. Yes, I've had sexual thoughts about an attractive woman. Oh, so Jesus teaches that if you've done that, then you've actually committed adultery in your heart. Ah, okay. And tell me, have you ever used the name of God in vain? Have you ever said, oh God, oh Jesus Christ, look at that taxi. Yes. Oh, so you've blasphemed. Ah, okay. So, have you ever murdered someone? No. Well, how can I believe you? You just said earlier that you were a liar. And then they caught. Then they fuss. Oh, so according to your definition, you're a lying, stealing, thieving, murderous, adulterous, blasphemer. Oh, and you still think you're going to heaven. Wow. So you think about that when you think about not forgiving somebody. Say, Lord, God, you've forgiven me of these things. I've said this many times. I've committed every sin in the book. I'm guilty of it all. Everything. I'm guilty of it all. But by the grace of God, I've been set free of that. And he teaches, in your prayers, let your prayers be like that. When you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, the quickest way to deal with it is, for me, might not be for you, anointed, holy Christian people, but for me, I just say, God, akani. Akani and akvoni. I don't want to forgive, and I can't forgive. Help me. I had to come to God and admit it. Lord, I can't. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to, and I can't. Help me forgive, Lord. Let God teach you to forgive. Then you can say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us. So point number 13 is forgiveness. Point number 14 is love and mercy. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Point number 14 is love and mercy towards others. Let your prayers be with love and mercy towards others. Point number 15, asking God for guidance. Asking God for guidance. He says, Lord, lead us. In a world out there where there's so much activity spiritually, there's so many different things to believe in. There's so many different things where people experienced supernatural spiritual manifestations. Remember when Moses was sent to deliver God's people? The Egyptian magicians also pulled a few tricks out of their bag. Their sticks also turned to snakes. They could also do, when the plague started, one of them was flies or something like that, or frogs or something. All they did, they couldn't stop it. They just brought more flies. Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. They just brought more of whatever the plague was. But they could also manifest some supernatural stuff like that. There's things out in the world like that as well, that people are delving into and experiencing all these things. People being able to tell the future and tell you about stuff that has happened in the past and all sorts of things. In a world like that, we need guidance, people. How do you know that what you hear at Bikers Church is the truth? Because I say so. Really? Is that your test? Om wat ek so sê, jy het help nodig, hoor. Jy het help nodig. If you come here because of me, get a life. Just get a life, please. Compare what is said here in the Word. In 1 John 4, 1, it says, test the spirits. Test the spirits. Test everything. Test it if it's in the Word, if it's not in the Word. And sometimes even if it's in the Word, it needs to be interpreted with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Because jy kan enige teks in die Bybel kry om enigiets te staaf. Wel, die Bybel het so gesê, ek moet maak. Ek moet so maak. Wat jy het gesien? Nou, if a ook klaps, you clap him back. En die Bybel het ons gesê, ek moet hom klap. Okay, but what about turning the other cheek and forgiving and grace and etc., etc.? So even if it is in the Word, find the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit teaching you the revelation of the Scripture. The Bible is the Logos. It's the written Word. The Holy Spirit gives you the Rhema, the spoken, revealed Word of God. You need that. So that's why he teaches, lead us, Lord. Here ek het wysheid nodig. Lead us. The fifth principle is guidance. Asking for guidance. A 15th principle, sorry, is guidance. Lead us. Then point number 16 is protection. Protection. Protect us from temptation, not into temptation. Lord, lead us. Keep us out of temptation. Point number 17 is salvation. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from lifetimes and the bondage of sin. Point number 18 deliver us from evil. Having a principle of righteousness in your life, we've looked at that. Point number 19, having faith. For Lord, for thine is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. I believe that yours is the kingdom. Point number 20, I'm going to rush off quickly because I'm 10 minutes over my time. Humility, saying, Lord, for yours is the kingdom and the power. What does that mean? So, Lord, there's things that I can exercise control over in my life, namely my will. But I'm surrendering that to your power. Yours is the kingdom and the power over my life. Surrendering that to God's will, to his power over your life. We, every Christian, has as much of God and his power and anointing in your life as you want. Think about that. You have as much as the power and anointing and ability, supernatural ability of God in your life right now as you want. Wow. That leaves a responsibility on me to say, Lord, I want your kingdom come, your power over my life, in all areas of my life. Point number 21 is reverence. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I recognize your glory and the beauty of the things that you do, Lord. When? Forever. Point number 22 is timelessness. There's no time limit on it. Forever, Lord. Timelessness. And then point number 23, we end with affirmation. Affirming it, saying amen. Amen means we agree. We're in agreement on this. And that, in a nutshell, is the Lord's Prayer. That's what Jesus taught us, these principles in prayer. I'm not going to go through them. There's 23 of them. If you want to get your teeth in, I'd encourage you for your sake and for our sake. There's precious things that God has deposited in you. Get involved in a home cell. Make the time and the effort to get involved in a home cell. And discuss this. Get in your teeth into the depth of this word and let it become real in your life. Take a guess what we're going to do now. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together as the church. Amen. I want somebody who's bold enough and confident enough to lead us in the Lord's Prayer in Afrikaans. Niemand nie. Die meeste van julle is in Afrikaans spreker, man. Kom aan. Anybody else? Sal jy kan, Nicolien? Right, Nicolene, kry jou reg, sister. Kom hier so. I'm going to lead us in saying the Lord's Prayer in English, and then I'm going to need Nicolene to lead us saying it in Afrikaans, and I'd like the deep end to come up in the meantime. Also, yeah, there we go. Sê gaan het lees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so stand with me as we pray the Lord's Prayer and think about every one of these principles as we pray this together this morning. And expect and trust and believe that God is going to bring about these things, relationship, recognition, adoration, anticipate, all these things God is going to bring about as we pray the prayer of faith this morning. Are you ready, church? Okay, so I'm going to pray first. No, not yet, but it just makes, I don't know, it looks cool. Okay. Nee, ek gaan hom nou vir jou gee. Ek gaan hom weer hou totdat jy moet praat, want ek ken jou. Okay, so let's pray together. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So stukkie vir stukkie, né?
Are you ready? Onse Vader.
Onse Vader.
Wat in die hemel is.
Wat in die hemel is.
Laat u naam geheilig word.
Laat u naam geheilig word.
Laat u koninkryk kom.
Laat u koninkryk kom.
Laat u wil geskied.
Laat U wil geskied.
Soos in die hemel.
Soos in die hemel.
Net so ook op die aarde.
Net so ook op die aarde.
Gee ons vandag.
Gee ons vandag.
Ons daaglikse brood.
Ons daaglikse brood.
En vergeef.
En vergeef.
Ons onskulde.
Ons onskulde.
Soos ons.
Soos ons.
Ook ons skuldenaars vergewe.
So ons skuldenaars vergewe.
En lei ons nie.
En lei ons nie.
In versoeking nie.
In versoeking nie.
Maar verlos.
Maar verlos.
Ons van die bose.
Ons van die bose.
Want aan U.
Want aan U.
Behoort die koninkryk.
Behoort die koninkryk.
En die krag.
En die krag.
En die heerlikheid.
En die heerlikheid.
Tot in ewigheid.
Tot in ewigheid.
Amen.
Amen. Halleluja. And Lord, as your body and as your people and as your children, as sons and daughters of God, Lord, it's not out of religion or out of repetition or a rhyme that we pray these things. We trust and believe you for these things to come to pass in our lives. Lord, there's beauty that happens in the life of a person that chooses to be obedient to Jesus. This morning we've been obedient to you, Lord. Thank you for the manifestation of your will and your power and your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, Lord. For I pray that for every person here, every family represented here, our loved ones, those whom we're praying for, Lord, those whom we're standing in the gap for, we pray for your will to be done in their lives too, wherever they are today and always, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship together.